Hey, we all have these terrible stories to get over, and you...
It's not true. Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. Just no one in this car, but a lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but that you're that pissed that so many others had it good.
No, I don't think so.
Not it at all, really.
Not it at all, huh? Okay. Let's go to the hotel, and tomorrow you'll see if you can get another big wad of sweaty money out of his hand.
Folks, doing something a little bit different this week. This is S3E6, taking a break from our content creator season. Just thought I'd invite a friend over and we would discuss some films. So I asked him to show up with a movie written down, ready to go. I too had a movie written down, ready to go. And we're just going to have a conversation about these two movies and see where it takes us. So it's two fellas discussing film. Enjoy. All right, S3E6 of Fanacek. We're doing something different today. So today is I got a buddy on the show. We're going to just have a conversation about movies. I just described it as like a guided conversation, kind of like a guided meditation without the benefits of meditation.
But I have to be very much awake. And actually you described it as think of a movie. It can be one you haven't seen, one you've seen a lot, or one you've seen one time. That was my directive.
Just a movie that's top of mind.
Okay.
So let's first of all, I'm going to give you a name again. So I didn't even prepare for that. So I like to keep it anonymous. And it's been a while since I've had a guest on the show.
Okay.
What name would you like to be?
Should it be thematic of the movie that I'm choosing?
I'll tell you what, why don't you pick a name from the movie and see if I can guess the movie?
Well, I think it'd be... Okay.
Okay.
I'll see if you can guess it off of this name. Simon the Fag.
Simon the Fag? That sounds so familiar. No. I don't know. Am I going to get canceled now? You said fag.
It's back in the day. You could say that.
How about
Melvin Udall?
Oh, yes! As good as it gets.
As good as it gets.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That movie has been on my mind. So you've mentioned it a few times in the podcast, and I'm like, man, I used to love that movie. It's a great movie. And one of my favorite lines, of course, which is not PC at all, which is when he's introducing Helen Hunt to Greg Kinnear, Carol the Waitress, Simon the Fag.
That's right. Yeah. My audio looks funny, though. Hold on one second. Nope, we're fine. Don't worry about it. All right, so Carol the Waitress, Simon the Fag. So when did you see that movie? When it came out?
Yeah, late 90s, I guess, probably.
I think I was in the Navy. I want to say 96 that movie came out.
Yeah, 96, 97. Saw it then, and then saw it. I'm one of those people that watches movies that I like multiple times.
Sure.
You know, kind of keep watching them.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons I haven't seen a lot of great movies, because I keep going back to the ones that I like. So I watched this with my parents at the time, really enjoyed it, and then watched it a few more times with them as well.
No, I love it. That's one of my go-tos as well. So I have like a rotation of movies that I'll basically stay up late after my family goes to bed and I'll get drunk by myself and watch movies. Real healthy, right?
Very.
And for a long time, that movie was in the rotation, As Good As It Gets, man. I remember I had it on VHS, you know, and I finally got rid of my VHS collection. Great movie. Great movie. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to do a couple things today, though. So, and I'm going to reveal my movie here in a minute. But I like to play the birthday game.
Okay.
I love playing the birthday game, right? Birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's a theme song. But I don't often get to play it because a few times when I've had people on the podcast, it's not a good birthday day. It's like celebrities you wouldn't know. But we got some good celebrities
today. Okay.
So the goal is to try and guess within 2 years of the person's birthday.
Oh my gosh.
Today is Bruce Willis's birthday. How old is Bruce Willis?
So I feel like Mrs. Fanacek is pretty good at this. But Bruce Willis, I'm going to go with 62.
Bruce Willis is 68 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Today is Glenn Close's birthday. How old is Glenn Close?
72.
Glenn Close is 76 years old.
Oh, I'm getting closer.
You're getting closer. I'm getting closer. I think there was one more in here that I saw.
Off the twos.
I don't know if you're familiar with this person. Do you know the comedian Theo Von?
Nope.
Yeah, kind of sucks. I'm not a big Theo Von guy. He was on The Real World or Road Rules or one of those shows when I was a kid.
Ooh, I do remember Theo from The Real World. So mm-hmm. he's got to be 44.
43!
Yeah, there we go.
So you ended it on a high note. Well, he's a stand-up now. He's got a popular podcast. I didn't know that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He used to be all in on The Road Rules and The Real World and The Challenge.
The Challenge.
Actually, recently watching one of the new seasons of The Challenge, which is pretty garbage at this point, but yeah. still.
So you're still in it. You still watch that stuff?
Still in it.
Wow.
Took some years off, kind of came back. Uh-huh. It's the format's so weird now because they've introduced all these other different shows.
Right.
So it's not just Real World anymore, which I'm not even sure they still do. The last time I saw Real World a few years ago, the format changed. It was so bad. And so, like, it wasn't that entertaining. The Challenge is always pretty entertaining. And there's still some people like Johnny Bananas still in The Challenge.
That's what he does for a living.
That's what he does for a living, yeah. So, there's...
All right, that was my second pause. I won't do it again. I'm just making sure our audio is good. So you stuck with it. So you walked away. Now you're currently watching it?
Yes, we are watching it now. Huh. It's been recording on YouTube TV for us.
It's not an MTV thing, is it?
It is MTV, which still? Is now part of Paramount Plus. Which we don't have.
I knew that, yeah.
So it's all lumped in with Paramount now. And but yeah, it's TJ Lavin still the host, still doing his thing.
Yeah.
A lot of the same old people are in it. A bunch of new people I don't know from like Are You the One, and they've got Big Brother people in it now, which is weird.
I've never seen that.
I haven't seen either of those shows. But so it's kinda interesting. But same shenanigans. And the challenges are always awesome. Like that's the reason we always watched it, because we kept thinking it would be awesome if they did a pedestrian version of these somewhere, like an escape room, but it's like a challenge room where you could do like
sure.
some of the challenges they do. That'd be so fun. That's what always was the fun
some of those challenges look awful. I wouldn't want to do any of that shit. Have you seen Floor is Lava on Netflix? That's kind of a version.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Kind of like that.
That would kill me. It's not one thing I'd want to do on Floor is Lava.
Yeah. Mostly, yeah. That's kind of got like a Legends of the Hidden Temple vibe too, I think. It's just like, you know, like get the staff off the wall and stick it in the hole and it opens up the mouth.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Legends of the Hidden Temple?
No, I don't know what that is.
What?
No.
We have just enough age difference that you would have missed that.
Huh.
That was a great kid show. Like Guts, like kind of like Double Dare was like the precursor.
Oh, I remember Double Dare, yeah.
So that was like kind of a precursor, but then there was Guts and Legends of the Hidden Temple were great. Kids doing athletic things shows.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So I was religious about The Real World. I remember the original Real World. I remember when it came out. It was kind of a response to 90210. So when The Real World came out on MTV, that's how they were originally marketing it. It was like when 90210, I think it was even the same night, Thursday or Sunday or whatever it was. But it was like when 90210 was over, come and check out The Real World, that kind of deal. Hmm. So they were marketing as that. And it was kind of, it had like a lot of social relevance at first.
Yeah, I mean,
season three, that's how I learned about AIDS, like from Pedro. And, yep. and I remember Norman in the first season was like the first gay guy I'd ever seen be openly gay. And it was yep. kind of okay. And then it just devolved into hooking up, making out, yeah. ridiculousness. But I don't know if I ever told you my Road Rules story, but I auditioned and kind of came close to going on Road Rules.
So, really?
So in 1996, I guess it was. So I went to freshman year, I went to Boston University.
Yeah.
So I graduated high school in 95. So 95 to 96, I'm at BU. So I don't remember which year this was, but I'm guessing it was 96, second half of the year. So they're auditioning for Road Rules. And one of the cities they came to is Boston. So we went to someplace, I forget where it was. I wanted to say like a Hard Rock Cafe or something of that ilk. We go there and it's like massive amounts of people. Me and my friends are there. What they do is you get called in and they sit you at tables of five. And each table has a producer. So it's like 10 tables, each table has a producer, and there's five people there, and it's like mini interviews. It's almost like a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had to fill out a massive amount of paperwork prior to getting there. I remember it was like favorite movies, what's your hero, personal credo, whatever, that kind of shit. All this paper. And you had a lot of hours to sit there and fill it out. So you fill it out, and you go and you sit down. So I go and I sit down, and I do my thing, and we go back to our dorm. That night, I think it was, I got a call. They're like, hey, Tom, we want you to come back. So I had to go to a hotel room. I think the following day, I remember having to cut class, which wasn't a problem for me. I wasn't really going to class anyway. And I went and did another interview with some people. And that I remember I was so clear, like they wanted me to take off my hat so I could see my hair. And I kind of had longish hair and all this. And then I had to go back a third time. And then this one, it's first of all, and it was with Mary Ellis Bunham,
okay.
who's since yeah. passed.
Oh, really?
But she was one of the... She was
Godfather
the lady.
Of these
so I'm alone in a room with her. Because I'll never forget, like she was clarifying some of my answers and wanted to get to know me better. And I remember making the comment like, Or she asked me why I was a little more serious now as opposed to I was kind of more funny in my writing. And I remember making the comment like, well, I guess it's now it's so much closer that, and I remember she like kind of indicated, well, it's not that close. Like, you don't have the job yet kind of deal. Yeah, like, right. You know what I mean? But
Hold on your pants and we'll see. Is that how that went?
No, yeah. I would have gladly done it.
Yeah, sure.
She was an older woman, but yeah, a handsome woman.
Whatever.
So then they tell me that it's actually, this is for Road Rules. However, if we don't feel you're right for that cast, there's the option to also do Real World, which ironically was getting cast at the same time for Boston.
Okay.
Wow. It was the Boston cast of Real World. So it got so close to the point where I had to record my voice. I had to do a recording of this is the true story of da-da-da-da.
Really?
I had to do all that. And then they had me do a video. I'll never forget a video of like who I am as a person. So like my buddy Sean, who was just in town like a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
He had the camera. We had to borrow someone's camcorder. I mean, a big old fucking camcorder.
Yeah.
I think we may have got it from the school. But anyway, so he videotaped. So I was like giving them a tour of my dorm and here's the bathroom and that kind of stupid shit. And I mailed it off. I'll never forget. I mailed it off to Sepulveda Boulevard in Van Nuys, California. And years later, I'll be living in Van Nuys, California. That's where I had my shitty apartment, and my girlfriend moved in with me. That's now my wife. But
a casting tape of you that had been like shattered in the ground, like near me.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know if MTV
dogs had shit all over it. And
yeah, I don't even know if like their production company slipped. But I remember not being able to pronounce it. I was like Sepulveda, and then when I moved to California, I was like, "Oh, Sepulveda." Oh.
Yeah.
And I knew Sepulveda because I'd sent a tape in the 90s. But then I was at a life crossroads, and I decided to drop out of college and join the Navy. So that was that. So I ultimately
missed didn't opportunity. Do. You could be on the challenge right now.
Yeah, I would have been a hot mess. I imagine if I was 19 years old and you gave me a little bit of fame,
that would have been
a severe alcoholic. Just a mess.
So I've known you and known this about you enough. Like, I know you're big into the reality shows like that one, and you watch all the Flavor of Love and the spinoffs and all that kind of stuff, right? So which I love about you. I would not at all be surprised if it came out one day when you're like, I actually was on The Real World. And I've been like, shit, I should have researched you more before.
I was not on a reality show. But yeah, but that was it. I came pretty close. I came very, very close to it. And my buddy Sean, who did the tape, he was one of the people who came. And like, we knew so many people. And I don't know what it was about me, but of all the, I probably knew 20 people closely that all went and auditioned for this Road Rules thing. And I was the one they called back. And I don't remember being particularly funny or charming or whatever, but I clicked. And then, I mean, I kept going back, but I'll never forget. Like, I was in a room alone with Mary Ellis Bunim. And then I remember reading years later, she passed away from cancer. That's my story. So it could have been Road Rules or The Real World. I would have been more geared for The Real World, I think. I don't think I want to live in a fucking camper.
The camper thing was pretty rough. Mark and Kit, you remember them from the early
seasons? I sure do. Mark was like that. I saw him once.
Did you?
I sure did. So I could talk. Oh, I got a bunch of Real World stories. We're not even going to talk about movies. Forget your stupid movie. So I got Real World stories for you. So a couple of them. But there was this Argentum. So when you get headshots in LA, the biggest photo lab, I bet you like 90% of all the headshots in LA, I don't know if this is true now because it's all digital, but if they still use headshots, in fact, all come out of a lab called Argentum. And it's there in Hollywood. And so everyone who's an actor knows Argentum. So I was at Argentum one day picking up a big box of my new headshots. And as I was walking out, Mark Long is his name.
Mark Long.
He was walking. He's a big fucker.
He's tall, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was walking in. I was like, oh, it's Mark. Then one day, me and my roommate, this would have been like 2005, we were at the Viper Room. So we're in Hollywood, we go to the Viper Room.
That's pretty badass.
Well, the Viper Room, well, it's famous. So it's gone now, sadly. They're just, that whole block, it's on Sunset Boulevard. That whole block is now being torn out, turned into a fucking Target or some bullshit, or condos. But the Viper Room's a historic club. It was owned by Johnny Depp. It's where River Phoenix died. So River Phoenix had been partying there, and he was out on the sidewalk. He left the club and died. And you can listen to the 911 call. It says Joaquin Phoenix making the 911 call. So it's a famous thing. But me just being pop culture, he wanted to go to the Viper Room because that's where River Phoenix died. It was owned by Johnny Depp. So we're there, and I'll never forget, The Miz was there. Before he was into wrestling, though.
Yeah.
So he had just come off the show.
He was into wrestling before the
show. You know what I mean. But like
he wasn't actually in.
Hadn't pursued it yet. But no, he had like The Miz character while still on The Real World. You're right.
Right.
He was there with Katie and one other girl. Remember Katie? I don't know which season she's from, but I knew her from the challenges. I think she was a Road Rules girl, Katie. And then
I'm sure I would if I saw it. That's just a generic name.
And I want to say Trishel. I'm pretty sure it's with Trishel and Katie. You know Trishel, I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to pull it. I'm Googling as we go. But so anyway, so my friend made fun of me because we're at the Viper Room. I think actually we left the Viper. We're like in the parking lot or whatever. So we're leaving the Viper Room and they're walking by us going in.
And it's The Miz.
I fucking lame out in front of celebrities. I really do. I hate to, to get my wife in here and she'll tell you. But I was like, oh, hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I did that. And my and he was like, oh, hey, you know, he said hi to me. And my buddy was dying. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Real world
I'm
guy,
pulling up Katie Cooley is her name. I'll pull up the picture. This is her. She's kind of like a homely girl. She was like always smoking.
Oh, I definitely remember her. Yes.
Yeah, she was like a smoker. Yes. She was like, she would do the challenges, but she was in horrible shape. Yes. I don't know why she did the challenges.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the Mike was there with Trisha. I'm trying to think if I've met any other Road Rules or Real World people. Don't know that I have. But anyway, that's my, I don't know how we got
that's
into
a lot
this tangent.
Already.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so I had that opportunity. So you picked As Good As It Gets, man. That was in my rotation for a while. I love As Good As It Gets. Why has that been on top of mind? Because I brought it up in a podcast?
Yeah. Ever since you brought it up, I've been thinking, I'll just randomly think about it. I don't know. It's one of those movies, to your point, like I've watched it a good amount of times, and every time it was on, I would always click over and watch it, you know? But I don't know. I just think it's funny. It's got unique names. It also kind of sticks, like Verdell, the dog.
Yeah.
Always cracks me up. Little Russell's Griffon. He's real cute. Bacon in the pocket. I mean, there's a lot of good lines. How do you write women? Think of a man and take away reason and accountability. There's just a lot of good, there's good lines in there.
One of my favorite scenes in that movie, and I'm going to pull it up. We're going to discuss it. I don't remember all the dialogue, but it's that scene where they're in the car. Yeah. And they're part. I think he had just gotten like the sweaty, he told the sweaty money story or something. Yeah. His dad gave him a pile of money. And they're in the car and like, and God, Simon is telling his sad stories. Helen Hunt's character is telling her sad stories. And Jack Nicholson's in the back. He's got the sunglasses. Glasses.
Yeah, he just lifts his eyebrows and they pop down.
You're right. Yeah. But he's like talking about how some people have nice stories, right? Yeah. Some people have nice stories full of this and noodle salad. No one in this car.
Right.
Which made me laugh how he's trying to be the bright spot in this awful conversation.
Very true.
Great movie. Came out, I'm guessing 96. Came out 97.
97.
97. Yeah. Okay. I would have said 96. All right, so let's read the synopsis. A single mother and waitress, a misanthropic author, and a gay artist form an unlikely friendship after the artist is assaulted in a robbery. Helen Hunt got Best Actress for this. Remember that being a big deal?
Really?
TV act. Yeah, she won Best Actress.
Good for her. She was great. Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, Helen Hunt, Greg Kinnear, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr., yeah.
So one thing I always like to look for, too, is like there's ever famous people in it before they were famous. Mm-hmm. I always look at that. And you'll always find one. I think 90% of all movies, you'll find some famous person. This one, I would say Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah, so he's the guy who beat up Simon, or he was getting his photos taken by him. I think.
Wasn't the other kid from Scream in this too? What's the kid's name? Jamie Kennedy. He was in it too. So Jamie Kennedy and Skeet Ulrich were both part of that crew that beat Simon up, right? And then they were both in Scream, like the year before, because I think Scream came out in 96. Maya Rudolph was in this as a policewoman.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. How about that?
Hmm.
Lawrence Kasdan, he's a famous producer.
Did you see that?
Julie Benz.
Jill the dog and Timer the dog and Billy the dog.
Oh, three dogs?
Three dogs.
Julie Benz plays a receptionist. She was Dexter's wife on Dexter. And of course, man, Harold Ramis played the doctor. Are you familiar with Harold Ramis? Who's, of course, in Goodfellas. He's the doctor who, like, is that Melvin Udall calls in to basically take care of the kid's allergies. He's going to start feeling a lot better. And all that shit.
That's right. Yep.
But Harold Ramis was from Second City. He wrote Ghostbusters. He worked a lot with Bill Murray. He directed Groundhog Day.
Okay.
And he and Bill Murray had a big falling out after Groundhog Day. And they didn't talk for like 20 years. And when Harold Ramis was dying, I guess they kind of reconnected. Danielle Brisbois is in this. So Danielle Brisbois, she plays a singer in it. She was a kid actor. She was in Archie Bunker's Place.
Oh my gosh.
So she played, like, because Michael and Gloria move off All in the Family. They move to the West Coast. So that just leaves Archie and Edith. So what they did was they brought in a kid actor, kind of like TV shows do. And it was her. She played like a little Jewish girl that Archie starts raising. Then years later, I talked about this on a podcast. Years later, she was in that band. You got the music in you. Da, do, da, oh my God. Da, da, da. She was in that band.
Was that Coldplay?
No, it was some one-hit wonder.
Yeah, you're right. I would say it's like, it's not lit, but it's like in that same vein.
I can't believe you picked this. So here's the other stuff about this. So I'm right now doing a season on content creators. So season two or season three, rather, Fanchek has been content creators. A lot of people like Chuck Lorre, yeah. And Stephen J. Cannell and Stephen Bochco.
Great episodes so far. If you haven't heard them, go back and listen.
Yeah, you should listen to those podcasts. But one of them I'm going to do is James Brooks, who directed this movie. So James Brooks is one of my favorite directors and writers. Terms of Endearment, Spanglish, As Good As It Gets. He wrote Broadcast News. He's one of the EPs of The Simpsons for the whole run of the show, The Simpsons. Is that still on, The Simpsons? The Simpsons cannot still be on, right?
I kind of feel like it is.
751 episodes, man, of The Simpsons.
I think it is. What the fuck? Longest running show ever, right?
Something it like is, that. Absolutely. So, okay, what do you like about that movie, As Good As It Gets? I mean, you've said some of it, like it touched you in a certain way, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Part of it's the nostalgia of watching it with my parents. You know, my dad and I used to always watch movies, and there are some that I remember specifically during that time period. It's kind of like, for me, I guess to age myself, 97 was like middle school for me. So that time period of like getting your own voice, getting your own sense of humor, bonding with your parent. My brother just gone to college kind of thing. So it's like I was the only kid left in the house kind of thing. So we just watched a lot of good movies at that time and bonded over them. So the characters I think are fantastic. Obviously the acting cast is insane. To put those four top build cast together is crazy. But I don't know. I love the dynamic. I love the story. I love the one-liners. Jack Nicholson's one-liners were great.
Yeah. What I love about Nicholson in this movie, those I can't think of specifics, but I feel like there's several moments when he realizes what a dick he's being.
Yeah.
Like he catches himself almost, like he says something mean to her. Like early on in the restaurant, he said something horrible to her.
Yeah.
And then the house dress comment, which led to the speech, you make me want to be a better man.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love those moments when he realizes what a fucking prick he's being. Yeah.
I think he never realized it until he met her and then until he met and befriended Simon. And like, you know, he never would have realized that otherwise because he had been successful in part of because he was a dick.
Yeah.
It's sort of his thing was like isolated writer, but writes really well and can be whoever he wants to be because he's successful. And I don't know, maybe it's why you're a writer and not like a personality, you know, but.
Speaking of The Simpsons, I forgot Yardley Smith is in this too. She's the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Oh, really?
So this is what I do. I go on IMDb, I'll start
down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. But Jack Nicholson, what's his best movie? Are you a Jack Nicholson guy or no?
Yeah. I'm not like a dyer. I don't know everything he's done.
Kind of with you. I don't know, man. I like a lot of his 70s stuff, man. He won an Oscar several times, but he won an Oscar for Terms of Endearment, which is another James L. Brooks movie. You ever seen Terms of Endearment?
Blind spot.
Wow, you got to go watch Terms of Endearment. I mean, it's horribly sad. It's about a young mom dying of cancer, but he's in it. And he's a supporting role. He's hardly in the movie, but he won an Oscar for it. And I remember thinking, I don't know, that's kind of a personality role. But I'm big on some of his 70s stuff, man. But that's about it for me. Wow, interesting movie. So, all right, I want to see who wrote it. Oh, it was written by James Brooks, I bet. I pulled it up and then I lost it. Let me pull this movie up.
Writers, Mark Andrus.
Mark Andrus.
And?
Story and James screenplay Brooks, by James Brooks.
There you go.
What else has James Brooks written? Because I love this guy. I'm going to pull up all his writing stuff. Well, I said The Simpsons. A lot of Simpsons stuff. Spanglish. Have you seen Spanglish? Adam Sandler?
I've not seen Spanglish.
Man, you got to get it. If you liked As Good As It Gets, I think you'd like a lot of James Brooks' stuff. Yeah. A lot of heart, a lot of drama. Yeah. Spanglish is a fun one. Spanglish is
I remember Sandler because it was a diversion from his typical. I loved, again, being the right age for this. I loved Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Like those, I was all in on those movies. I remember Spanglish coming out and being more serious and being like, I don't know if I want to see Adam Sandler being serious, but I was too young to appreciate that.
It was good. It was a good movie. I remember not liking the ending of Spanglish very much, but Spanglish is a great movie. He wrote Broadcast News. Terms of Endearment, man. Terms of Endearment is amazing. I might go back and watch that. But look at this. James Brooks created Taxi. Holy shit. Created Lou Grant? I didn't know this. He created Rhoda. I met Rhoda. I've talked about that on the podcast. Valerie Harper. He's one of the creators of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Holy shit, man. This guy. Room 222. I had no idea that James Brooks. I'm doing an episode on him, so I'm glad. I'm gonna. Doris Day Show. He wrote for Mayberry RFD, My Three Sons, The Andy Griffith Show. Wow. That girl.
You're going to have some shit to talk about.
I sure am, man. Yeah, I love that As Good As It Gets. I'm going to read the trivia, but I know some trivia off the top of my head. The original movie for it was going to be Old Friends. And I think they were also, that Old Friends was going to be, I bet it's in the
title of As Good As It Gets?
Mm-hmm. And there was also going to be a reference to the Warm Buns comment. Remember it ends with Warm Buns? Something about going and getting warm buns. Like that's like the final scene. Mm-hmm. Like when a bakery first opens or something.
Yep, that's right.
And I think that might have. I'm going to pull up the trivia on
that. Makes more sense than Old Friends.
Yeah, I think
Old Friends is not a good title for that. They're really new friends.
Let me see. I bet you the real Verdell played. No, I don't know what's on. No, I don't see it in here. But I guarantee you that was somebody, or that was going to be a title for it.
Warm Buns.
Warm Buns. Something like that. Yeah.
I like it. I like Warm Buns.
Woody Harrelson read for the part of Simon, it says. According to Harrelson, he went too femme on it. The audition took place at Nicholson's house, and Harrelson admits that he was nervous meeting.
Wouldn't you love to see the audition of Woody Harrelson being too femme as a gay character?
Oof. Nicholson was 60 when the film was made. Helen Hunt was 34. Yeah. And, oh, I know it's some trivia, too. So, you know, the lady who played her mom is supposed to be Betty White. And Betty White wouldn't do the movie because of throwing the dog down the trash.
Yes.
Yeah. And Betty White's, like, really into animal rights. And
Like, I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, so she refused to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see if we can connect it with my movie. So let's talk about my movie real quick. Before we do, though, I want to go through the cast again. Helen Hunt, she didn't really do much after this. I don't think Helen Hunt became a big movie actress, even winning an Oscar. Then she kind of went away, right? I mean, what has Helen Hunt been doing?
I mean, that was right after Twister.
Oh, Twister! Forgot about Twister.
That was kind of her big.
But I'm looking at her IMDb. I mean, going backwards, I'm not seeing much, man. Like, she was in that movie Bobby, which I think Emilio Estevez was about Bobby Kennedy. I think the big thing she did after this... Oh, she was in Castaway. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Castaway?
What Women Want, Mel Gibson.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
I remember that being big. I don't even think I saw that, but...
I think her first big movie after this, though, was that... She did the movie with... wasn't it her with the kid from I See Dead People? Pay It Forward.
Sixth Sense, yeah.
That was like a big movie for her, I feel like. She did Pay It Forward with Kevin Spacey.
Haley Joel Osment.
Yes, yes, yes. Castaway, that's a good movie. I should have picked Castaway. You should have picked Castaway. Why are you wasting our time with this? Good as it gets?
It's a great movie. Changers.
Oh, Castaway's great, man. Oof. I often think of that kind of thing.
Mad About You. She was a TV star. That's what it was.
That I knew. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I knew that.
Yeah, we're thinking about like movies and all that. That's what I was like, she's a big TV star. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
No. I knew that. I'm sorry. I meant like just winning Best Actress and then not really hitting movies after that. Yeah. But Kinnear was a guy who I thought should have had a bigger career. He's in one of my favorite movies. So Greg Kinnear, I think I've talked about on the podcast before. A movie I think you'd like. You should check it out. It's called Autofocus. So it's a true story of Bob Crane. Bob Crane was a star of Hogan's Heroes. And he died kind of mysteriously. Basically, he was beaten to death in his sleep.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
And they're pretty sure his buddy John Carpenter did it. Not John Carpenter, the director. This other guy, John Carpenter. I've talked about it on the podcast. Yep. But Bob Crane was like a known creep. So he's a big TV star, Hogan's Heroes. But he was like addicted to porn, addicted to sex, orgies. Like he just was such a creep that he kind of destroyed his own career, destroyed his family. And he used to travel around with this guy named John Carpenter, and everywhere Bob Crane would go, John Carpenter would go with him with all this audio or video equipment, and they would film sex and film orgies and just crazy shit. And then I think Bob Crane was trying to break off with him, like, okay, I got to get my career back in order. Like, and one night he was just asleep in his hotel room, and someone came in and bashed his brains in while he was sleeping.
Oh my God.
And they believe it was John Carpenter. He died before they can convict him, but here's something funny. So they found brain matter in John Carpenter's rental car. So that led to the arrest. But then upon further research, DNA, whatever, it wasn't Bob Crane's
brain. It wasn't his brain.
Right, so he got off. But I'm like, all right, well still, let's not... let's,
You're good.
Let's look into that. Like, you'll find a lot of shit in my car. I've got kids. French fries, boogers, some fingernails.
Yeah.
You're not going to find brain matter, though. Like, that's insane. Anyway, check it out. It's called Autofocus.
It's out of your brain other than having bashed someone's head in, but... I will check it out.
So here's my movie. And I know you've seen it.
Okay. I swear to God, I had that written down on here. That was my second choice.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Catch Me If You Can.
I was between those two movies, and I almost went with Catch Me If You Can. Love that movie.
Yeah, Catch Me If You Can. It's been top of mind for me, and I don't know why.
Yep.
I have not seen it in a while. But I'll tell you why, and we'll talk about the movie in a second. But there's some news came out that I heard. I don't know how new this news is. I was listening to a podcast. Catch Me If You Can came up. And then I was in a bookstore, and I saw Frank Abagnale's book, and I almost bought it. But apparently, a lot of Frank Abagnale's story has been debunked.
Really?
A lot of it's bullshit. And I'm thinking about that. I'm like, I don't know if that affects the movie for me now. And I don't know what details. I don't know. I have not researched it.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's like, yeah, a lot. It's come out that Frank Abagnale's a bit full of shit. Like, a lot of those stories may not be real.
Would you be surprised if you were full of shit? I mean, that's kind of the concept of the movie, is that he's full of shit.
I guess. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter.
So, like, to make up his own story would not be far-fetched.
That's
but
true.
But also, like... There's like the FBI involved. So like, that's
but I mean, we don't
made up, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I was thinking about getting the book anyway and reading his book. I happen to be at a Barnes & Noble because my girls take dance near there. So sometimes I'll go to Barnes & Noble and take photos of books I want to read because I got a Kindle now. And I saw it. I was like, oh, Frank Abagnale. But then I'd heard some of its bullshit and I don't know how I feel. I don't know if that affects the movie for me or not, but I love that movie.
Okay. I'd say let's read it.
So that movie came out in 2002, I think. I did not research this all. Catch Me If You Can, 2002. This was a weird time for DiCaprio because he's a major star coming off of Titanic, right? 97 is a big fucking year for him. He's a major star, but he's not quite a man yet. Like, even in this movie, he's a high school kid. It's that weird transition time for him.
Well, he looks young anyway, right?
Yeah.
So,
but like now he's like a full-on middle-aged guy. That's kind of the roles he plays. But for back then, it was still kind of lanky and yeah. But I love the movie. Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hanks, Christopher Walken. Walken got an Oscar nomination for this, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Frank. Yeah, Frank Sr.
Yeah, he got an Oscar nomination. Martin Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to do my thing where I go through and I find people before they were famous. Oh, Amy Adams. This was an early Amy Adams. I don't think I had seen Amy Adams before until this movie. I remember thinking, who's that cute girl with the braces? Like, I thought she was really cute, and it's Amy Adams. She became a big star like in 2005. She got an Oscar nomination for Junebug, I think.
Jennifer Garner was in this.
Yeah, remember she was the model that was kind of like a prostitute. That's one of my favorite scenes. Ellen Pompeo before she was famous. Elizabeth Banks before she was famous.
Mm, yep.
Oh, wow. Who else? I bet you there's people in here. I don't know who half of these people are. Single. Margaret Travolta? Is she related to a Travolta? Is she? Margaret Travolta. Sister of John Travolta, Anne Travolta, Ellen Travolta, Sam Travolta, and Joey Travolta.
I don't know. She is related to Travoltas, yes.
So she's John Travolta's sister. Interesting. I don't know who the hell.
Got some goofy looking people in here too. Look at that Steve Whiting guy.
Yeah.
What a weird looking dude.
Yeah, right. I didn't realize James Brolin was in this. So James Brolin plays Jack Barnes. I think Jack Barnes is the fella the mom married after they got divorced.
Okay.
Yeah. That's James Brolin. So that he's in real life married to Barbara Streisand, James Brolin is. He's a big star, 70s. Amityville, he was in that shit. His son is Josh Brolin, who, of course, is a very big star now. What did Josh Brolin do? I think he's in those Marvel Universe movies, but I don't watch any of those. Isn't he like the big bad guy, Thanos?
Yeah. I don't watch them either.
No, you don't watch them?
Nope. Trying to get our kids to...
I thought your kids were into that.
About the right age to start... But there's so many of them. Like, you gotta figure out the right order to watch them in, and is it chronological, or is it like based on youngest... most acceptable to young kids first so that they kind of age into them. I don't know. We're starting to get into that. We've not done. We did Star Wars. We did all the Star Wars movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't do more superhero movies, man. I mean, I like Batman and stuff. But yeah, James Brolin and Josh Brolin. So Josh Brolin's
Thanos, yeah.
Josh Brolin's career was kind of done. So he's an interesting guy. So Josh Brolin was really big in the 80s. Actually, when 21 Jump Street was being made, this TV show, that's who the network wanted. They wanted Josh Brolin instead of Johnny Depp. And they had to fight. I think they went so far as to even start filming with Josh Brolin. They get rid of Josh Brolin, they bring in Johnny Depp, and the rest is history. But he still had a big career, and then his career faded away. He was just, he was kind of out of Hollywood. Until the Coen brothers are making that damn movie, No Country for Old Men.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls them, he pursues them. And they literally, like, they were almost being rude. They were like, all due respect, you're not going to get this.
Not you.
You're not going to get this. I mean, his career was done. So he put together an audition tape. This is true. Robert Rodriguez directed it, the audition tape. Robert Rodriguez, big director, works a lot with Tarantino. But he directed it, and Quentin Tarantino did the lighting on the audition tape.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is a true story. So the Coen brothers watch it, and they call him. And the first thing they ask, they go, who did the lighting on that? And you got to be able to say it was Quentin Tarantino. And Quentin Tarantino is very proud of that. He's like, fucking A, it's the first thing they asked him. Who did the lighting?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so I guess he's got those buddies. And like, that's how much, you know, he had in his corner. And he got it and revamped his career. I mean, that movie was amazing. Have you seen No Country for Old Men?
Nope.
You've not seen No Country for Old Men? What the fuck's wrong? I'm just saying, you also hadn't seen Swingers either, right?
I have now.
Oh, yeah? Have you seen it now?
I have seen Swingers now, yes.
What'd you think?
I think I would have liked it when I was 20.
You didn't care for it?
It's a garbage movie.
Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, it's a coming-of-age movie. Mm-hmm. It would have been perfect in college. Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate that old me would have liked that. Like, young me, I should say.
Sure.
Would have absolutely loved it. And I still appreciate it because it is Vince Vaughn, and he's fantastic. And he steals the show, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's not, I think objectively, it's not a great movie. It's just, I think it's probably just nostalgic for you. You're like, I've seen this a lot. It was a great movie when I saw it.
There's some great scenes in it, though.
There's some, for sure.
I mean, it's one thing that holds up still. Well, yeah, I also lived it. I was a broke actor in L.A. That might be part of it,
too. When I heard you talking about the parking lot scene and where that happened, mm-hmm. and all that, it would be different if I
Yeah.
Knew more of that, I'm sure. But
so yeah, that famous fight scene in Swingers where they pull the guns, that was actually, it wasn't at the Dresden, it was at the Muxo and Frank's parking lot. It's like the exact spot where he's like, don't cry in front of the Mexicans and Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Same location, yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. And you're so money, you don't even know it. Like that. I get that, but yeah. I don't know. There's no plot. It just ended suddenly. Like, there's no, yeah. I don't know. It's not.
I guess, yeah, if you're not seeing it through the lens of having watched it when it came out, because it was so, like, it just blew up when it came out. Like,
yeah, sure.
It was just like, holy shit, who's this guy?
I would want to party with these guys. Yeah, like, yeah. I would want to be a part of that, too. But as a 30-something now, you know, like, I was right. Kind of like, I get the appeal.
Sure.
I would have loved this. And had I watched it then, I still would love it because I loved it then.
The Jon Favreau scene calling and leaving the voicemail, come on, that's fucking classic.
It's cringy, but it's
awesome.
Yes.
It's not you, it's me. Yeah. Like, he leaves like 4 months, she finally answers and says, don't call me.
Yes.
Oh, man, I don't know, I love it. But it's funny because, like, I did live it, and so years later, I remember I kind of had an emotional moment because I found myself at the Dresden. A buddy of mine was a bartender there, and that old couple was performing. Dun, 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 the drums, they were there. And I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, in that bar in Los Feliz, it's called the Dresden. I'm not into that scene, the swinger scene, but I that wasn't around when I was in LA anyway. I didn't see people walking around like through the fucking Rat Pack.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The
wallet chains were hilarious.
Like, yeah.
One of those long chains. Yeah. It was fun. It was cool to see the data, like the answer machine in general was one. The apartment that Favreau lived in was a complete shithole.
Yeah. That building, I knew that building very well. So, and in real life, a bunch of famous people all live there. You know, we're pulling up Swingers. I'm going to pull up the trivia on Swingers because Favreau really lived there. That was real. And his downstairs, I think Ron Livingston lived there. And he had a downstairs neighbor who went on to be really famous. And it was pissed that they didn't cast him in the movie because he was friends with him. And it might have been like Jeremy Renner or something. But he went on to have a big career.
I do remember either you said it or we looked it up, but the budget was like 200K or something.
Yeah, they did
something insane that was like super, super low. It was basically just a bunch of dudes just hanging out.
I'm pretty sure they didn't have permission to film in the casino, which is why they chose some shitty, because that's not a Vegas Strip casino. They were like way off the strip there.
Yep.
And you have to know Vegas to know that. And I'm pretty sure they didn't have a license for it. Let me take a look. I'm going to look for that. I'm going to find it.
The name of the apartment building?
Well, I know where it is. I'll talk about that in a second, but I want to see whoever. Okay. The exterior nature of Mike Peters' Jon Favreau's apartment was the actual building and room in which Jon lived at the time this movie was filmed. Favreau's downstairs neighbor was actor Adam Scott. That's who it was.
Oh, that's right.
And Adam Scott still jokes to say about it. Those fuckers didn't put me in the movie. Yeah, Adam Scott lived down there. So that
that's
movie,
wild.
Or that apartment right across the street from it. Actually, two things got cool about that apartment. One is there's a bar next to it called the Playboy Bar. I think it's called the Playboy Bar. But it's where Ed Wood used to drink. Do you know the famous director Ed Wood? He's considered the worst director of all time. They made a movie about him called Ed Wood. Johnny Depp played him.
I think I remember you talking about it, actually.
Yeah, it came out in 94, won an Oscar. Yeah. Martin Landau played Bela Lugosi and won an Oscar for it. He beat out, you know, Gary Sinise in Pulp Fiction, beat out Sam Jackson, or not Forrest Gump, beat out Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction. But yeah, so Martin Landau won an Oscar for it, playing Bela Lugosi. Johnny Depp plays Ed Wood. But anyway, he was a bad alcoholic, and there's this bar called the Playboy Bar right near that apartment building where Ed Wood used to drink, and they still had his old checks up there. Like, he'd go there to cash his checks. They still had them up on the wall.
Yeah.
And across the street from that building was a 7-Eleven that I used to always stop at to buy cigarettes. So there you go.
Boom. Perfect. So, full circle.
Yeah, so when you...
They actually put your checks up on the wall as well when you paid for your cigarettes.
Yeah. This is Tom paying for cigarettes.
$1.25.
It's a real sketchy part of Hollywood, but I grew up in a bad neighborhood, so it didn't bother me. But yeah, I would stop there and buy cigarettes all the time. And so I'd also get these little bars of soap, because my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, I was lying to her about being a smoker. So I had to go through a whole operation. So this is a true story. So I'd buy cigarettes, I'd smoke, right? Then on my way home, I'd stop somewhere, and I'd have a bottle of water and wet my hands, wash my hands with the bar of soap, wet my hands again with the bottle of water, and throw the soap out. I think it's a whole operation I went through to hide the cigarette smell.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm sure I wasn't hiding anyway.
No.
Yeah.
It carries with you everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That's not something people can...
But as a whole, I was like a fucking ninja for smoking. But anyway, so yeah, Swingers, man. So you didn't like it. That's interesting.
No, I know you said didn't like it. Right. I don't know.
Maybe you didn't have an appreciation for it.
I got why people liked it in the 90s. It's just, again, watching it now, having not seen it before, it was not overly impressive.
So I know some more trivia about it. So, you know, producer, one of the producers is Peter Billingsley. So when Favreau and Vince Vaughn are both Chicago guys, right? And I think they kind of met on the set of Rudy. because they're both in Rudy. Vince Vaughn is a small part. He's the quarterback, I think, Vaughn. But Jon Favreau has a big part in Rudy. He's the nerd who helps Rudy, right? So they met there. And as Favreau tells it, you know, Vince Vaughn came with, hey, you're Chicago, I'm Chicago. And Favreau wanted nothing to do with him because he felt like he was a troublemaker. He's like, this guy's got a big fucking mouth. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to keep my nose down, you know? So he's kind of afraid of him at first. But then they did become friends. And they're out in L.A. And their first famous friend that they had was Peter Billingsley. He was a little boy in A Christmas Story.
Okay.
The blonde hair kid with the glasses. Yep. And that's why he's in a lot of their movies, although you may not notice it. But he's in a lot of their films. But he produced Swingers for them. And I believe Doug Liman directed it. Doug Liman had a big career after this. I don't know what he did. But Doug Liman, I just know the name. So Doug Liman has directed Edge of Tomorrow, The Bourne Identity. I mean, he had a big career after this. Yeah. Anyway.
The trivia is funny on this one, though.
What do you got?
Because they're talking about like Doug Liman shooting the film on an Aton 35, a small documentary style camera.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a sewing machine. He wrapped a down jacket around it, and then he wrapped a down comforter around the jacket so it wouldn't make so much noise. Favreau said it was as if he was acting in front of a giant snowball.
Interesting. I know that when they were doing the casino scene, one thing that made me laugh is this is the skank shift. There's that comment about like, this is the skank shift that made me laugh. But one of the guys that talks to them is Vince Vaughn's dad in real life. And it's become a thing. Vince Vaughn's dad is in a lot of his movies. But
yes, he was in there. And let's see, Favreau's, I think he said his grandmother was one lucky gambler. The party scenes were shot at like real parties, and like people, they couldn't afford extras. They couldn't afford to pay people.
I was
like,
and I'll tell you, that's what the parties were like in LA. So I was not like in any kind of a hip scene at all in LA. I just wasn't, you know, most of my friends in LA were improv people, which kind of attracts nerds for the most part. I mean, improv, I was liking improv is like the comic book collectors of acting.
Really?
It's not a lot of hip people. It's mostly nerdy people. Not a lot of girls, you know, shockingly. So
Mrs. Fanacek might take offense to that.
Yeah. But well, yeah, it's where I met. Well, yeah. I mean, like she was by far like no attractive girl, certainly. And I hate to say that, she wasn't, at least not when I was there. So, it just doesn't attract. Improv's a weird thing. Even, I mean, how many shows have we tried to do like improv and it just hardly ever works?
Yeah.
I mean, Whose Line Is It Anyway is maybe the most successful. And even that.
I liked it.
It's a great show. But I mean, in America, it wasn't a big hit, really. Yeah. I mean, it was a big hit in England. And then when they tried to do it here with Jim, not Jim Carrey,
Drew Carey. Yeah, Drew Carey, Wayne Brady, and those guys from the Drew Carey show.
But it didn't, yeah. Oh, I met him, Ryan Stiles. I got a photo with
Ryan Stiles. Was funny on that show.
Yeah, I met him. Funny. I met him at Second City, and he was cool. He took a picture of me. I can't find the picture. I'm sure it's on something, but it's funny. He's like towering over me, and he's leaning over. Like he hunched down to put his arm around me, and he's still.
He's got to be like 6 foot
seven. Yeah, he's a monster of a guy.
Yeah.
But, all right, I'm going to do my thing on Swingers here. I was going to tell a story, but I forget the hell I was talking about. Oh, the parties. But I wasn't like in a hip scene at all. But the few parties I went to in LA were very much like that. Like really bizarre. Like you go and all the liquor's out. It wasn't like keg parties. It was like liquor parties. So they'd all be out and you're allowed to just walk in and start mixing drinks. You don't even know who lives there.
Yeah.
But no one would talk to you. It's really weird. And I went to a party one time and with some friends who were visiting me in LA. This would have been 2003. And one of the guys there with us was Christina Ricci's boyfriend. Like she lived with him. And we were like, get out of here. But I forget how he was able to prove it. And he's like, oh, God. This guy.
I forget how he was able to prove it.
I want to see photos. Or maybe there was someone else there who like verified earmuffs, it.
Children.
But yeah, he was. So I'm trying to see if there's any famous people in this like that became famous. I guess the big one would be what's her face? The blonde actress. She had a big career. At the very end, Jon Favreau gets her. What the hell's her name? Boogie Nights girl. Wasn't she in this? Before she was like a big name actor? Oh, Heather Graham.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Heather Graham was at the very end.
That's right.
She's the one that he eventually picks up. So Patrick Van Horn didn't do anything. He was the guy who played Sue. That's the famous scene too, the making Wayne bleed. That was a great scene.
That was great. That was great. And my buddy, Ethan.
I heard you guys talk about
it. Loves the movie, and he loves that scene too, where he's like, don't you dare. He's like pausing it because the delivery shows up. He's pausing it. He's like, don't you dare enter Gretzky. And he's over there, like, stepping on him with his skate. And he's bleeding on the ice. It's like, I do remember playing that game too, like 95 NHLPA or whatever.
Sure.
Hockey game. I mean, that was fun. There's a lot of nostalgia there. It's just, it's not nostalgic for me in that I saw it when it came out and it stuck with me. It's more like, I remember that game. I remember being 22, right? I remember partying, not having any money or whatever. I get all of that.
Sure.
All I'm saying is that as someone who watched for the first time at 38, it was kind of like, yeah, I can see why people like this. I'm not blown away.
You suck.
No, I do suck.
But that scene didn't really resonate to me that much to the video game port. Oh, Brooke Langton. She was big. Brooke Langton was the girl at the bar that he ended up calling like 55 times. She had a big career, I feel like. She's real pretty. What the hell did Brooke Langton do? The Replacements. Oh, she was in The Replacements with your boy. It's a football movie. You should
that like is a football movie. Mm-hmm. Shane Falco.
Yeah, Shane Falco. Friday Lights. She was in the TV show Friday Lights.
The TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Was she the head cheerleader in Replacements? The brown hair girl?
She plays Annabelle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
She's like the third lead, so I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Friday Night Lights, she played Jackie Miller. I don't remember who that is.
I don't know her from the... I didn't watch the TV show that much.
Oh, you didn't? Mm-mm. Oh, God, I love that TV show. But that there's a girl...
I love Kyle Chandler, and I think he... Yeah. But it was Billy Bob Thornton.
No, there was a girl... Yeah, I never saw the movie, actually. I've never seen the movie all the way.
What? Through. You haven't seen that movie? Fuck you! You piece of shit!
You cannot compare Friday Night Lights to fucking Swingers. Don't you fucking talk to me. You cannot compare the two. I'm sorry, Swingers had a much bigger cultural impact than Friday Night Lights.
Eat a dick, Fanacek.
But, no, Minka Kelly is in the TV show.
Yes.
She dated Derek Jeter for a while. So yeah. She was lights out. Horrible actor.
She was lights out.
Yes. Horrible.
But not necessary for her role.
No, I know. But, I mean, it made me laugh. And then Adrian Palicki was another hottie in that show, too. She had a big career. She did some stuff. She's on that show now with the guy who does Family Guy, Seth, whatever, MacFarlane. Anyway, I forget what we were even talking about. So let me...
If you can, that's what we were talking about.
I know. I want to do Swingers real quick, though.
Wait. Like my movie. I'm going to Swingers.
I was looking through the cast. Anyway, yeah, so I think the only one, Heather Graham has had a big career. She's another horrible actor, Heather Graham.
She's not good. She was in Austin Powers 2, though.
Yeah, you know, she was good in it. It makes me wonder, I guess that's the importance of script and directors and stuff, because I actually thought she was really strong in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
But then she's horrible in other things. Then you look at some projects where horrible actor. A great example, I know you don't watch The Sopranos, right?
You know, I'm halfway through the first episode.
Oh, interesting.
I started watching it the other night, and then my wife got home from wherever she was and cut me off, but... I want to start...
Like a lot of shows, the pilot's way different from the rest of it. I would say get to the second episode, because I think there was even like a year and a half in between. Like, they did the pilot. Really? Okay. Yeah, because you'll notice in episode two...
Kids a lot older or something?
Yeah, Meadow looks completely different in episode two. It's like, what happened to her? I think it was like a year and a half later.
Okay.
But I think interesting about that show is a lot of them are not actors. Like, it was like, you know, I mean, well, hell, the guitar player from the E Street Band is Silvio Dante.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so, yeah, Silvio is little Steven Van Zandt. He's the guitar, he's Bruce Springsteen's guitar player. A lot of them were like real mobsters. But my point is, they're not real actors.
Yeah.
But they're great in that show.
Right.
But they don't do other shit. Like, yeah. And when you do see them, other things, it's not the great.
Typecastings, they just fit.
So I just wonder. So it makes me wonder if, like, how much a good director and good director actually really elevates your performance. Because Heather Graham's awful in most things.
Yeah, she wasn't even good in... I say the Austin Powers movies, like, the whole movies are cliche anyway, but she was not even good at that, honestly.
And she was, you know, I rewatched recently, Bradley Cooper, they're in Vegas. What's that one? The Hangover? Yeah, she's kind of shitty in that, too.
Yeah.
The thing about her, she doesn't age. Shit, she's been beautiful since, like, the 80s. What's going on with her?
Human, yes.
Yeah, I mean, she does not age. She's got to be well in her... She's born 1970. She's 53 years old.
Jeez. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
She's 53. She looks amazing, I bet. I mean, like, she does not age.
Yeah.
Also, and I mean, I this is going to be chauvinistic as shit, but she has no issue with nudity. So I think that...
wrong with that.
That'll get you cast in some movies.
Yeah. She is endowed.
Yeah, she does a lot of nudity. But yeah, we were talking about As Good As It Gets. This movie had a big impact on me. I don't even know why, but I remember when it came out, the big story about it was almost like Steven Spielberg was taking a break. He was like, you know, I've been doing these big movies. Like, I'll pull up his IMDb. But obviously Spielberg's noted for doing monster movies, big productions.
Yep.
And he said he just kind of want to scale it down. He's like, you know, he kind of saw it as a break. I'm going to do like a smaller movie. And how the hell do you spell Spielberg? Here it is. And that's also what attracted Tom Hanks. So Tom Hanks is like, hey, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I'll get in on that with you. We'll kind of scale it down. It ended up being a fairly big movie. But I want to redesign the movie leading up to that. So, I mean, he's coming off of... Oh, I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, when you look at the years leading up to it, Saving Private Ryan, AI, Artificial Intelligence, Minority Report, mm-hmm. and then he, of course, does Catch Me If You Can. Did you know he did The Terminal with Tom Hanks? That movie sucked. Did you see that?
I did see that. It was not good.
I didn't know that was even Spielberg. Shit. But, I mean, God, this guy's been around forever.
It's a lot of Tom Hanks.
It is. So, like, yeah, so we're looking at, I mean, starting in the 90s, not even going before that, you're looking at Hook, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, The Lost World, the other Jurassic World, Amistad, and of course Saving Private Ryan. So yeah, this was like a smaller movie for him. huge impact. I think it was kind of a critical movie too for DiCaprio because again, he was kind of doing kid roles. I mean, he was famous, but I don't know that he was seen as like a leading man. Like, I don't think he was putting asses in the seats.
Yeah.
DiCaprio. I don't know. There's a weird thing. Because he'd been nominated for Oscars too. I mean, you know, as good as, what's Eating Gilbert Grape? He got an Oscar nomination. So he's a big, I mean, he's known as a solid actor.
Well, I think you hit it though. He's kind of transitioning, you know, from being like a kid slash high school heartthrob type to, he's 21 in this movie, but he's playing like he's, you know, 25, 30 or whatever. He plays a fucking doctor at one point. Like, he's a pilot. He's all kinds of stuff. It's sort of weirdly transitioning his career is like the character transitioning from 21-year-old to a 25, 30-year-old. It does put him as a leading man, I think. I freaking love this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I love Walken's character. And I got to go back and rewatch it. Like, how full of shit was he? Was he just as full of shit as his son?
I think so, but I think it was in a weird way. This reminds me. I don't know if you read. Did you read the McConaughey book, Green Lights?
I have not.
Oh, it's fantastic. You got to check it out. It's really good. But one thing he said in there about like the values of his family was kind of like, if you're going to cheat or steal or something like that, don't get caught. It's not like being immoral. It's just like when there's a gray line, when there's a gray area, do what you got to do. But just make sure like the worst thing that can happen is you get caught. If you get caught, like then you're really fucked. But as long as you don't get caught, like you can get away with some little stuff that blurs the lines. I think of the same thing in the lesson that's taught to Frank Jr. is kind of like you can get away with some things. You can lie and cheat and steal whatever. Like, his dad was definitely doing some of the same things, it sounded like. But when you get caught, that's when it's bad. Remember, he gets like arrested or like almost arrested, then he does get arrested. And Christopher Walken, I'm
sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like he's doing some of the same stuff.
We don't really know what his crime is, right? Like, we know the IRS is after him.
The IRS is after him.
Yeah.
Probably similar, check fraud or something like that.
Yeah, and it's probably legit. Right? I mean,
exactly.
And then the mom just fucking moves on real fast. So how full of shit was she too? And then I loved the Martin Sheen character. I love that he now finds his second family. He's going to marry that Dobie girl. And Martin Sheen's her dad. They're planning the wedding. You know, I think it's like an engagement party or even a rehearsal dinner. So I don't know what it is. Yeah. When Hanratty finally comes in,
they go running. They run out. Suitcase on top of the bed kind of thing. Suitcase full of money.
That's right.
Climbing out the window. Yeah.
I could have done... I don't know how I feel about the ending. You know, I wish they'd ended it at the airport. There's a key scene at the end when you know, Frank Abagnale is at the airport. He gets another captain's thing and Hanratty catches him there, but he doesn't bust him.
Yeah.
He's like, where are you going? No one's chasing you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of wish they'd ended it there, but then they did like an extra 10 minutes where then, you know, he does come back and it tells you what happened to his career. And
I agree. That scene was iconic. That would have been a good place to stop it.
You know? Yeah, I love that line. No one's chasing you. Yeah. You know, and it would have been cool if he left it there. But yeah, that's a great movie, man. It did have a big impact on me. Jennifer Garner, I forgot she played that model that he made. That's a great scene because he scams the shit out of her.
Yeah, you know? He was calling down to the front desk or something. I forget. He was writing checks to her as well, obviously. But
she's a shitty actress too. But that's the thing. She wants the bigger check. That's it. She paid him ultimately for sex, if I recall. Because I don't remember the numbers. Let's say he agrees to give her $300. He only has a check for $500.
Right.
She's like, you give me the $500, I'll give you $200 cash. And he's like, even better.
Yeah,
so he's basically paid to screw her.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's great. I wonder if that's true. If nothing else, I want that to be true. She's a horrible actor, too, Jennifer Garner. I've never seen that show, whatever the hell show she was on. I never watched it.
I never did either.
But I've never seen her in a movie. And she's like, she's always just, she's never played a critical part in a movie. Like, I even, you know, talking about McConaughey, she was in Dallas Buyers Club. The only person in that movie that no one could give a shit about. Like, she's a friend of his or something. I don't know. I just remember him having dinner with her in that movie. And,
Capital One commercials.
Married to Affleck.
She's great in those. Yeah, married to Affleck.
She was that superhero. Elektra, was that what it was? That's how she met him, right? She was in his movie. He played Daredevil.
Daredevil, yeah.
Ellen Pompeo. She looked gorgeous in this. She was the stewardess that he banged. I think he lost his virginity to her.
Well, this kind of... it's not the same timing at all, but it made me think of that Pan Am TV show that came out. Margot Robbie was in it. Christina Ricci, speaking of which, was in it as well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even though it was... at least a decade after this movie, the movie sort of repopularized glamorizing Pan Am in like the 70s travel, air travel and all that kind of thing. And it kind of made, it sort of paved the way for that show, I think.
Yeah. This is a great movie. I've had it top mic because I want to rewatch it. I haven't seen it in years. I'm also now remembering another scene I loved, and we'll wrap this up here soon. But when Carl almost catches them that time, they're in the hotel room together.
Yeah.
You remember? And, he's just, it's his wallet, but he like treats like a badge, and he even lets him hold it. Cause he points down to the blind guy getting let into the car.
Yep.
And as he's leaving, Carl Henry's like, hey, you almost forgot it. He had his wallet.
Yep.
He's like, you hold on to it. I trust you. And he leaves, and like a couple minutes go by, and he finally decides to open the wallet, and he sees labels
shit. Yeah, yeah, it's labels he's ripped off of water bottles. That's brilliant. Just brilliant.
That was just fucking great. Yeah.
That was great.
It's a good movie.
That's kind of the snarky DiCaprio that I think we see a lot more of now.
You know?
That exchange, that came to kind of like identify him in a lot of the movies I've seen since then. I've started to just absolutely love him as an actor. That, I mean, he just shines in that specific scene.
I don't know. Are you a big DiCaprio guy?
I love DiCaprio.
I'm going to look at his IMDb leading up to this. So this was 2002.
I was one of those haters of him early because I was like 96 or 97 when Titanic came out. I was like middle school and all the girls were like obsessed. You know,
sure.
They were like, oh, he's gay or whatever. You know, like, anytime it liked anybody that was like the boy bands were big at the time. Yeah. You know, Justin Timberlake and all of them. So we hated all of them because they were creating impossible standards for us as adolescent men.
My problem with DiCaprio is I kept getting confused for him all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. I get it.
I was actually big on him. Again, I'm a little bit older than you. I was not anymore, and not for any particular reason, but I was a big Johnny Depp fan as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, and one of my favorite movies is What's Eating Gilbert Grape. And holy shit, it's a young DiCaprio. He steals it. He plays mentally retarded kid. I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and say, I don't know what the appropriate thing is now. But he plays a retarded kid, and he's just lights out. He's so great.
Yeah.
He's so great. And he got an Oscar, so I was always big on him. But I'm looking, like, leading up. So, I mean, Titanic is like the line in the sand, right? After Titanic, he does The Man in the Iron Mask, which I remember it kind of came and went. Celebrity came and went. The Beach was a bomb. Remember that movie, The Beach? Did you ever see that?
I didn't see it, but I remember it. Yeah.
So in 2002, he does Gangs of New York and then Catch Me If You Can. Yeah, this is kind of... And even Gangs of New York, I don't feel like people bought him as like that...
Yeah, that's a
that
little,
movie. Do you like that movie?
I didn't see that movie.
You haven't seen it?
That's a little rough for him. Although he kind of reprised with Departed. I feel like Departed kind of, it did fit. You know?
Yeah, it worked. The Departed worked. This was, I think, the first time he worked with Scorsese. I didn't like this movie. I thought Daniel Day-Lewis was ridiculous in it, Gangs of New York. I mean, it's all about, you haven't seen it, so you want to refer to. And Cameron Diaz is kind of universally panned. For it. She plays an Irish girl, like a straight off the boat Irish, and it's not great. I don't know. So this was an interesting year. The Gangs of New York, Catch Me. And after this, he does, there's The Aviator after this. Holy shit. That movie was great. Yeah, I think this is like the line in the sand. Because after this, it's all like, he can put asses in the seat. He is a grown up because he does The Aviator, does The Departed.
Yep.
My wife was just talking about The Departed. She wants to rewatch that. What do you think of The Departed?
I love The Departed.
That movie, okay, here's the thing.
Freaking love The Departed.
That movie's a mess, though. That movie's a fucking mess.
Who cares?
I know, but like, even Scorsese,
just perfect.
Scorsese, literally, interviews with him, he was like, that was a kind of a throwaway film for him. So he was, you know, he'd been doing some heavy shit. He wanted to remake a Korean action movie, right? And he saw it as like over the top, and that's what he won Best Picture for. But it was in his brain, he was like doing this kind of this fun over the top remake of a Korean movie. And that, I mean, I don't get me wrong, I like the movie, but it's a bit of a fucking Jack Nicholson going back to him.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that! You picked it. So that's our connection there.
That's a connection.
There's it. So The Departed is our connecting movie.
Yep.
Matt Damon.
Everyone just getting shot in the face like over and over and over again. What are you on your period? Cranberry juice. What are you on your period?
Oh, I've got... Ooh, Martin Sheen's in this one, too. God, I forgot how good Matt Damon was in this, though. Matt Damon's got the best Boston accent of anybody.
He's freaking great.
Wahlberg was funny. Wahlberg got an Oscar nomination.
Wahlberg was really good. He was a mega asshole in that movie. He was really good.
A prick. Alec Baldwin was good in it. I liked him.
I just think that's a great movie.
Yeah, I gotta go back and watch it.
I'm in on it.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie, but I don't know, man. It's just a fucking mess. Then DiCaprio's Blood Diamond, Body of Lies, Revolutionary Road.
Shutter Island was big for people.
Yeah, why? I saw it. Did you think much of that?
I actually just saw that in the last couple of months.
Am I missing something? I don't remember that being...
so many people talk about it, but I don't know. Obviously, you can't watch it more than once. It's a twist.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of the twist, you're kind of like... Okay, I got it now.
I kind of nothinged it. I remember seeing that. I remember Liza was very pregnant. Very pregnant when we saw that. I think her parents took us. I think we were just all, which is rare. Like, I don't think I've ever been in movies with her parents before. Like, we all just happened to go see this movie. I remember, like, thinking not much of it. But you're right, people love it.
I liked Inception.
See, I don't understand that, too. That was a huge movie for people. I didn't give a shit about Inception.
Yeah, I liked Inception.
J. Edgar...
Haven't seen it.
That got panned. It was Eastwood directed that. And that kind of got panned. And I don't think he liked working with Eastwood. They did not get along. And then Django, he was great. What I like about Django and Chain 2, and this speaks, I think, volumes about not just DiCaprio, but about Quentin Tarantino. This was him taking like a smaller role, like, you know, willing to do a supporting role, which you don't often see with a guy of that caliber.
Yeah.
Have you seen Django Unchained?
No.
Wow. Oh, Django Unchained's great.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Jamie Foxx too.
It's a very fun movie. Another Oscar winning performance for Christoph Waltz, you know, who he got an Oscar for his first movie with Tarantino. He did, so he's won two, Christoph Waltz won two Oscars, both for working with Tarantino. The other one was, the Nazi movie. Inglourious Basterds.
That's right.
So Inglourious Basterds, Christoph Waltz wins an Oscar. Then he does Django Unchained, wins an Oscar. You got to watch Django Unchained. That's a fun movie, man. Really fun. Great cameo. You'll see it when it comes. Great cameo from Jonah Hill in Django.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And a horrible cameo by Quentin Tarantino. Yeah.
Yikes.
He has an accent. I'll put it there.
Oh, God.
I've not seen The Great Gatsby, but I will tell you, here's my thing about The Great Gatsby. I read the book for the first time last year. I don't know how I got this age and not having not read it.
Really?
So it was on one of my things. I'm going to read The Great Gatsby. I read it. I don't know. It was lost on me. I thought I was going to be like blown away by this piece of literature.
No.
I was not.
No.
So I'm not seeing the movie, but he did The Wolf of Wall Street. What do you think? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
I thought that was horrible. I just thought it was gratuitous. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, people really hated that.
I didn't care for it at all.
I did. I liked it.
Interesting.
Yep. I like Wolf of Wall Street.
It's got a great cast.
Well, that's the thing. Jonah Hill is in that as well. It's just fantastic.
Margot Robbie getting naked, though.
That's all I need. Yeah. I'm good on that. That's literally it. Okay. A number one.
I will give you that. Yeah, she's lights out.
That's basically all I remember about the movie.
Yeah.
But I'm also a sucker for like real stories, which is one of the reasons I love Catch Me If You Can, even if it's fabricated somewhat, but at least somewhat based in reality. I love movies that are based on true stories like that.
He's got a movie coming out now that I've been hearing about called Killers of the Flower Moon. And it's, again, directed by Scorsese. And it's him and De Niro. But it was interesting that he was the lead. And I don't know what led up to this. I don't know whose idea it was or if there's anything scandalous about it. But it's interesting. He was the lead. And then all of a sudden, he swapped roles with a smaller character, Jesse Plemons. So you know the actor Jesse Plemons? You know his face, I'm sure.
Familiar, yeah.
He was in the TV show Friday Night Lights. That's probably where he got to start, speaking of that.
Okay.
He's got a face I'm sure you recognize. He's kind of heavy set now. What the hell did he do? Oh, he was, I'm trying to think of something big he's done. He's one of those guys. He was in that huge Netflix movie this year. Something about the dog, The Way of the Dog. He was in The Irishman. Anyway, Jesse Plemons. But what I thought was interesting was Jesse Plemons is now the lead in the film and DiCaprio took the smaller role. But
I know this guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's good. He's married to Kirsten Dunst in real life. He did a great movie. You should check it out called The Way of the Dog. Is that The Power of the Dog?
The Power of the Dog.
Yeah, you gotta watch The Power of the Dog, man. That was a cool movie. Scruffy's trying
as to your dog is currently trying to get into the
he heard us mentioning
into
dog
the studio. He's like, yeah. I'm a powerful dog.
Scruffy is trying to get in. Hey, Scruff, I'm recording, bud. All right, I got a couple questions. So, you can't look it up. You can't cheat.
Okay,
I can because I'm the guy asking questions. Nah. What do you think? Okay, which one of these movies do you think did bigger box office? And I have no clue. I gotta guess
Catch Me If You Can, just because it's Spielberg and DiCaprio at the time. There's a big cast in both of them, honestly. But
yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to say Catch Me If You Can.
As Good As It Gets was so popular, but was it a big hit? Or did it kind of come later? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I didn't see it until it was out on DVD.
I'm trying to see where I can find box office. I'm sure it's here. I know it is. IMDb's the best. All right, so remember this. Okay. Grossed $148 million.
As Good As It Gets?
Yeah. We'll do worldwide gross, though. All right, so we'll do worldwide, which is $314 million.
Okay.
So that's As Good As It Gets, $314. All right, now let me pull up Catch Me If You Can. Again, I'm going to go on the worldwide numbers. Let's take a look here. Worldwide, 352.
Ooh, close.
Yeah, it's close. So, yeah, you were right. Catch Me If You Can. I had no clue how popular either one of these were. Because, again, Catch Me If You Can was a smaller movie. Major cast, though. I mean, major cast.
Well, Spielberg, I don't think either of those directing. Were, like, blockbusters, you know?
I agree.
Numbers.
Which one do you think had a bigger budget?
Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, by 2 million. So, Catch Me If You Can had a $52 million budget.
You got airports.
As Good As It Gets had $50 million.
That's still a lot. Really, that's surprising to me because that movie takes place largely like in the apartment, in cars, at a restaurant. You know, like there's not.
You're
a
right.
Whole
Catch
lot
Me If You Can was. Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can.
They had to reenact the Miami airport. I'm sure it wasn't really the Miami airport. Yeah, they had to do all that.
And
shit.
You got a period piece, so it's just a lot different. You got to go back and recreate the 70s. I don't know. That's surprising.
Which one's the better movie?
I love Catch Me If You Can. I gotta say that's better for me. Mm. I love both these movies.
Yeah.
But Catch Me If You Can is one of my underrated favorite movies.
I would say Catch Me If You Can is a better movie. I think As Good As It Gets has the better acting.
That's fair.
Yeah. I really love...
That is fair.
I love Jack Nicholson in this. And I'm not a huge Jack Nicholson guy, but I love like a lot of his early stuff. I really do. And I'm not one of those people, I like the early stuff. I think he made weird, great examples of The Departed. What the fuck was he doing in The Departed? That was so bizarre. Everything he did in that movie was fucking weird.
Not an overly believable part for him.
And he does a lot of that shit.
That should have been Pacino, you know? Like,
yeah, Pacino.
Should have been someone else.
Or just play it straight. Like, I mean, he was too comical. I mean, I don't know. Everything he did was weird. It was a lot of strange choices. But I thought in this movie, he just played it. He just kind of slowed it down. Like, he really just played it.
He was fantastic. Yeah. And I agree with that. The acting was better here. But
yeah.
Yeah. The stories... I guess I said the story's better in the other one, but maybe not.
And we already connected the two, right? What was our connection again?
The Departed.
The Departed.
Yeah.
So a lot of them meet over there in The Departed.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough. Final thoughts. I have no final thoughts. I'm going to rewatch Catch Me If You Can, though.
You're going to watch Friday Night Lights, the movie, as well.
You know, I've seen some of it. I mean, I know the storyline. The Boogie? Is his name Boogie or Booger?
Booby. Booby Miles.
Yeah, Booby Miles. I remember him getting injured. It was his dad or his uncle he lived with.
His uncle.
I remember that. And I remember that, like, they say he's relevant even though he's not. So he really re-injures it. And that really kind of ends it for him. I remember all that.
Yeah.
And then the kid. I remember. I've seen some of it. But
yeah. Billingsley, the kid, was getting beat up by Tim McGraw. There's a really good documentary about the team that ended up, spoiler alert, beating them in the state championship. It actually wasn't the state championship. It was the semifinals, I think. But it's Dallas Carter is the name of the other school that ended up beating them. Mm-hmm. And there was a whole scandal. I think it was like an ESPN documentary or something. These kids got, like, there was accusations of grade inflation and cheating that ended up being not true. But there weren't, like, standardized grading systems in the state or something. That they investigated the school. The kids weren't allowed to play in the state playoffs. And then they reinstated them for the playoffs. Like the day before their game or something, so they had to show up and play. And this team was like so loaded with talent that they were just steamrolling people all year long. And then after they win the state title, they end up like a ton of these kids get into like theft. They were breaking like movie stores and stealing movies and money and all kinds of stuff. They were breaking in all this like armed robbery stuff. And a bunch of them ended up going to jail. And it's like this really crazy, sad story about this like super high potential kids. One of them stayed straight-laced, ended up going to University of Miami, ended up going to the NFL, ended up being like a big-time, you know, name and everything. But a lot of these guys like fell to obscurity because they got roped into this crime, basically like a crime ring, but it was all them. It wasn't like some outside force that was causing them to do it. It's really kind of crazy. But it's a really good, it's an interesting documentary because it does talk about the Permian Heights team, which is the Friday Night Lights team, and there's the big epic game or whatever, but that wasn't even a state championship. But these kids were like insanely good.
The Permian story in Friday Lights, is that a real story?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's a real story. Mike Winchell was a quarterback. That's real. Booby Miles was real. Did get injured.
Some of the actors stayed the same. I know that the wife, Connie Britton, played the wife, mm-hmm. and she's on the wife on the TV show as well.
Yep.
And there was another actor who has a big role in the TV show, and he was in the movie, but in a different role. I forget his name. He was kind of like a big, what do they call him when they raise money for the program?
Yeah. The booster. The guy who was a car dealership booster. Yeah.
Yeah.
He drove up in the Corvette during the movie.
I think it was a different role or similar role. I'm not even sure. But yeah,
I think
Connie Britton, she's another one. So I got a Connie Britton story for you. I know that she used to do a lot of mushrooms when she lived in Nashville.
Oh, really?
So she lived here for a while. You know, she filmed the show in Nashville.
Yeah.
You're going to hear this first, listener. So I know a fella. Who I won't say his name. He does mushroom ceremonies, right?
Oh.
And high end ones. And he travels all over the place, other countries as well. And I got to partake in one of those. Did I tell you that story that I went and did mushrooms with him?
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking wild. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. I didn't care for the ceremony part of it. I was just like, let's get to the shrooms.
Did you say there was some weirdo with you though that you guys were all?
Yeah. So there were only two of us actually that were like guests, if you will. Like the ceremony was for the two of us.
Yeah.
But there were other people participating, and probably five or six people doing mushrooms that day. The other guy doing the ceremony, I don't remember his name. He's a real flimsy guy. I knew he was going to go south right away. Because then after mushrooms, you can also tell when someone shouldn't have a beer, right?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
And even before it started, he was just really overly emotional. And he was saying things like, love is everything. And I remember thinking, shit, they shouldn't give this guy drugs.
He's already on something.
Right. Yeah. He was just really, I remember thinking like, I wouldn't even drink with this dude much less give him drugs. And they did, and he did. He flipped out. It got calmed down. It ended fine, but it scared the shit out of me for a million reasons. But then afterwards, after you come down, it lasts like 8-9 hours. I mean, you stay overnight, you know, and so you're eating. But afterwards, they said that what they do in the beginning of the summer, they get to know us and everything, and that's when they decide on the dosage. And they gave me a considerably higher dosage.
Yeah, they're like, don't give this, give him fake mushrooms.
Yeah, so I had a considerably higher dose, I think twice as much, and I was fine. Like, I had a great experience, and he had very little. But I think he had the predilection. I think this guy was going to freak out and over-remote no matter what you gave him.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when I was getting to know these people, he does some celebrities, and one of the ones he would often do here in Nashville was Connie Britton.
Really?
Yeah, I guess she had relationship issues and she wanted to get to know herself better. So there you go. Oh, Connie man. Britton was doing the shrooms and she lived here.
See, I think that she and Kyle Chandler should be married in real life. I think they're at such great chemistry in the TV show.
Sure.
Friday Night Lights.
He's great.
And I think they're just a great combo, mm-hmm. you know? I really do.
She's one of those women too. Like, she's like Heather Graham. Like, the older she gets, the better looking she is.
Yes.
Man. I don't know how she 80. I don't know. She's
114 actually. Yeah.
She's just phenomenal looking.
Born during the Depression. She was in White Lotus. I don't know if you guys watched White Lotus. We watched the first season of that. It is bizarre.
It's Remind me, which show. One is White Lotus? It's is that the, the hotel one?
Resort. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried.
Yeah.
I tried. I couldn't get into it. But I didn't even stay long enough to realize what was going on.
Yeah.
But I was in a movie with Steve Zahn.
Really? We saw his balls in White Lotus.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some Shaft, yeah.
Well.
Full blown.
See, so it's not just Margot Robbie getting naked that has a
flavor. Steve Zahn's balls are in
there. He does his full on Shaft, huh?
Yeah, a little bit of Shaft.
So I did a movie with him in 2000. It filmed in like 05. It came out 2 years later because an unknown Jonah Hill was in it. And the movie was bad. It was produced by, it was called Strange Wilderness. It was produced by Happy Madison. It was directed by Fred Wolf, who I think wrote Tommy Boy. Like, so it's a lot of credentials
there.
And I just come off of doing a kind of a big movie. And so I was a little bit in play, you know, and so my agent was able to get me in the same casting office. Like, they liked me. So they put me up for this. I worked like 4 or 5 days on this other movie. I worked, I think, 2 days on Strange Wilderness. But a cool cast. And I'll forget. So funny story. Now we're going off on a tangent. I apologize. But I'm early for everything, right? Super early. That's just how I am. So I get to the airport 3 hours early. I always want long layovers. I'm very conservative at time. So I'm going to work on this movie. I'm very excited. It's produced by Happy Madison, you know. And so I get there super, still dark out. So much so that food service, craft service isn't even there yet. But there's a roach coast. So we're filming a place called LA Center Studios. It's actually a neat story. So it's like all these office buildings and real streets in the middle of downtown LA. Someone came in and bought it and said, no, we're not going to use it for offices. We're going to make it to a studio.
Okay.
So it's like literally, I mean, streets, stop signs, buildings. And it's in so much stuff that you'll probably never notice, but I notice it every time.
Yeah.
It was the office for Mad Men. That's where they worked in Mad Men.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So many. I can point out hundreds of things I've seen. Like, oh, that's LA Center Studios. It's just a cool concept. Like, they literally took an office
right
park.
Right in the middle of downtown.
And you see buildings in the back. It's perfect. Anyway, so we're filming there. So craft service is in there, but there's a roach coach, right? So I go to the roach coach, and it's cold, uncharacteristically cold. And there's me and this heavyset kid, right? I'm assuming he's part of the crew. And he starts talking to me, and I almost didn't really talk back. Like, I was just kind of like, meh. You know, but I ended up, I don't know what it was. I was kind of feeling, I'm the talent, right? I'm talent. He was this crew guy.
Yeah.
Total dickhead thing. But I ended up talking. I was bullshit. And he was a really nice guy. And we were shooting the shit. And it was Jonah Hill.
Oh, my gosh.
But he wasn't famous yet. I didn't know who Jonah Hill was. And I saw him several months later. And I talked to him. I saw him at, oh, shit. It's a big Hollywood and Highlands. It's a big shopping complex. It's like 3-floor shopping complex. There's a club up at the top that I used to do sketch comedy in. Anyhow, and I saw him there on an escalator. We were passing escalators. Like, hey, Jonah. He's like, oh, hey, what's your name? And I was like, Tom. Hey. And anyway, and we passed. So and this is way before he got famous. I think when I later saw him again, it was in the 40-Year-Old Virgin. I was like, oh, that kid.
Yes.
I was like, I know that kid.
I just want to buy these shoes.
right. And then, of course, he blew up. So the movie was so shitty that it sat on the shelves. But after Superbad, they released it. And
really?
It was like, it went nowhere. And I got cut out of it anyhow. I think there's a scene where you can see me walking in the back. I was in a hospital scene that ended up cutting out.
Yeah.
But anyway, but Steve Zahn was in that. Not a friendly dude.
Really?
I was really disappointed because I'm a big fan of his. I loved him in That Thing You Do. Talk about Tom Hanks. You've seen That Thing You Do?
Yes, I have seen That
That's
Thing
a great fucking
that was a great
movie. That's a great movie. And Steve Zahn's good in it.
The Oneaters.
The Oneaters. Yeah, he's like the comic relief and he's really funny. He's
that's
a
right.
dick, man. And he was dipping and spitting everywhere. I'm like, dude, it's a film set, man. Like, I don't know. He was just an asshole. But Jonah Hill, it was all of Sandler's people. So, like, the ones you've seen in all his movies, I don't know their names, Allen's, but all his crew.
Yeah.
You know, like, so they were all in the movie.
Schneider and Steve Buscemi and all those guys.
Well, it wasn't those guys, but it was like the lesser known ones that are his buddies in all his movies. I'm trying to think who else was in
there. Was Chubbs Peterson in it? No, that would have been awesome. That
him?
Yes,
Apollo Creed.
Yes.
And as I point to my picture of Rocky, yeah, he was not. Carl. But you know who was? What is his name? Heffernan. Not Doug Heffernan, because that's the King of Queens character. But something Heffernan. But he was in he's in a group called Broken Lizard?
Broken Lizard?
Yeah, they did Super Troopers.
Super Troopers and Beer Fest?
Yes. So I hit him. And I geeked out. Oh, I got to pull up his name. Heffernan, the heavy set one. The one who was, he was the fucking
Farva?
Funny.
Farva.
Farva? Rod Farva.
Yes.
He was in the movie. So it was a day one filming. We're done. And we have to go back and you got to always got to get all your shit back, right? So you get your clothes, props, everything has to go back. And that's everybody, whether you're a main actor or not. So we're all going and giving our shit back and taking it off. And so I approached him and I was like, I'm a huge fan of Broken Lizard. I want to go talk to him. And I had a connection. They all met at Colgate. That's where they went to school.
Okay.
So they started at Colgate and then they pursued their careers together.
Yeah.
Well, my high school girlfriend went to Colgate after high school. So I walked over and I said, I'm a fan. And my girlfriend went to Colgate and he could not have been a nicer guy.
Really?
And we were chatting. I started geeking. I was like, man, I fucking love Super Troopers. I loved you in it. And I was like, what are you guys doing now? And I'll never forget. He said, we're doing a movie about a beer drinking competition.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, yes. Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Did you watch it?
I've never seen it.
Oh, Beer Fest is awesome.
Because I love Super Troopers, but then I saw their next one I didn't like as much. Club Dread, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that one.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't want to ruin it for me. But then years later, though, I was getting this tattoo, which we were just talking about. It took forever, this tattoo.
Yeah.
Like, I had to go two different days. And we were watching movies, and Super Troopers 2, they show that. So I got to see the second one. It wasn't great.
I don't think I've seen the second
one. You're not really missing anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Rod Farva, it's something Heffernan is his name. I can't remember his fucking name. But I met him. He was in the movie. And I was fucking geeking out over that guy and talking to him, and he was really cool. I've got some cool stories.
You're going to watch Beer Fest, man.
Yeah, well, I'll watch Beer Fest. I will absolutely
Das Boot. You got to learn about Das Boot. I have a Das Boot. It's a glass boot drinking as part of the competition.
Okay.
Give it away. Das
Boot. But I never forget when I said, hey, our Broken Lizard, you know, still doing stuff. And he said, yeah, as a matter of fact, we're doing a movie now about a beer competition. Drinking.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, oh, that sounds really cool. Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
So that is my, and I don't know how we got on this tangent. About, oh, Steve Zahn's balls. White
Steve
Lotus,
Zahn
Connie
balls,
Britton.
Yep, Connie Britton.
I bailed on it, but apparently people love it, because obviously season two, the chick won an Emmy, right? She won something.
We haven't watched season two. We watched all of season one. And it's just kind of wild. Like, there's no real plot to it, but it's just like you're watching these characters devolve and just self-destruct, and it's kind of fascinating. And the dynamics, the family dynamics are great, and it's like you know these people almost, like you feel like you've seen these people on vacations before. There's a lot of interesting dynamics there, but yeah, Connie Britton, Steve Zahn's balls. There you go.
So we started with As Good As It Gets, and we end on Steve Zahn's balls.
Which is
A to
As
Z.
Good As It Gets.
As Good As It Gets to Steve Zahn.
Zahn's balls.
A to Z. Thank you very much. You've been a great guest. And again, I didn't refer to your name, but it was
Simon the Fag or Simon Udall. Either one.
Simon the Fag. Thank you for joining me. That's been S3E6. S3E6. Until next time, stay tuned to the next exciting episode of Fanatic. Well, I found that rather enjoyable. Some fun movie talk, some fun tangents, some fun personal stories. If you like the podcast, you know what to do. Leave me a positive review. You can hit me up on Twitter at Fanacek Podcast. You can see me on Facebook, Real Fanacek, or email me, fanacekpodcast@gmail.com. But again, what I always ask is for you to stay tuned for the next exciting episode of Fanacek.